Brown is the New York Times best-selling author of The Weird Sisters, hailed by People magazine as a delightful debut. Eleanor's writing has also appeared in anthologies, journals, magazines, and newspapers. She was born and raised in D.C. Eleanor has now lived in cities across the U.S., in England, and she's back in Colorado. Welcome, Eleanor. Thanks so much for stopping by the Book Report today.
Oh, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you.
All right, let's start with the obvious first question. Why the title The Weird Sisters?
Well, The Weird Sisters has kind of a double meaning. The first one is that it's a story about a family, and who doesn't have a family that's a little bit weird? But then the other meaning is that it's a reference to the three witches in Macbeth who call themselves the Weird Sisters. And they're actually the Fates, and the book is concerned somewhat with, do you have a fate? Is there a path in life that we are supposed to follow, or do we get to make our own decisions? So it's got kind of those two layers to it.
All right. So the book is about three sisters, each with Shakespearean names, Rosalind, Rose, Bianca, Bean, and Cordelia, Cordy. I believe I read that you come from a family of three sisters. Is that right? All right. So which sister are you in the book?
I guess I should be the youngest, Cordelia, but I like to think of myself as a little bit of all of them. I wrote the book to try to figure out some issues that I was going through, and so I put some of the questions that I was trying to answer in each one of the characters, and I hope when people read it, they'll find themselves sympathizing a little bit with each one of the sisters.
All right. The father in the novel is a renowned Shakespearean professor, and there's Shakespeare verse written, woven all through the book. How did you come to center your book around the bard?
It was kind of an accident, really. What I wanted to deal with is the way that families develop their own languages, the way that if you go into someone else's house, you know, they're using nicknames you don't understand and phrases and quotes. And Shakespeare just kind of was my way of approaching that, of creating a language for this family. And of course, Shakespeare's wonderful because he's kind of invaded our culture. So even if you'd never read Macbeth, if I said to you, double, double, toil and trouble, you would probably guess somehow that came from Shakespeare.
Well, there are so many quotes, Shakespearean quotes and doublets throughout the book. How hard did you have to research Shakespeare to find just the right one for all the spaces in the writing?
Really hard. I did a lot of reading and a lot of researching before I was writing and while I was writing. I'm not a Shakespearean expert. I'm just a fan. And so it was great fun. But this is a family whose knowledge of Shakespeare is much broader than any of ours, and so they're not going to quote the obvious quotes. So I had to really dig and find things, and they take them all completely out of context, I should say. So you don't have to have a deep knowledge of Shakespeare to understand what's going on in the book.
You know, I'm wondering, the father quoted a lot of Shakespeare, and that was a lot of the times the way he dealt with his daughters. Was that a way to keep them distant, or did you write him to be a bit distant, or that was just how he could communicate?
I think that it's a little bit of both. I think the father is really uncomfortable with his emotions, and so instead of coming up with his own words, he just quotes Shakespeare because it's much easier for him to use somebody else's words. But the daughters are really frustrated by that because they're at a point in their lives where they're sort of trying to become more genuine and trying to become more adult, and they would really like it if they could just all communicate in their own words. But again, that was just my way of getting at the way that different families communicate. Mm. And some people really have problems expressing their emotions.
You know, in the book, the mother and father had such a wonderful love story. The home seemed like a really loving home, yet each of the sisters was kind of flawed in very distinct ways, but it made me feel like a little bit sad because their home was so loving. Talk about that.
Yeah, so one of the things that the sisters wrestle with in the book is that their parents are so deeply in love with each other, maybe almost to the point of excluding the daughters from that love because that relationship is so important to them. And in the book, the mother is also wrestling with a serious illness, so I think that marriage is the most important thing. But one of the things that I was trying to get at is the way that our choices really influence the situations we find ourselves in. And sometimes we make really bad choices and do really stupid things, and it's nobody's fault but our own. So I didn't want to have them growing up in sort of a miserable childhood and be able to blame everything on that. I wanted them to do the things that we all do, to make silly choices and end up in bad situations and then have to find their way back out of that again.
Towards the end of the story, the town minister tells the middle sister, Bianca, to stop defining herself in terms of her sisters, to live her own story. Do you think it's possible for someone to be really free from comparison to their sibs and to be a totally separate person?
I'd like to think so. I don't think so. But what I do think that we can do is change the way we think. Family patterns are really persistent. And one of the reasons that I wrote the book was I was trying to figure out why, even though I was a fully fledged adult, whenever I would be around my sisters or my parents, I kind of slipped back into that youngest child role. I became the baby again. So it was important to me to break that pattern. And that's kind of why he says that, because while I will never be able to break free of that role entirely unless everybody in my family changed, I can change the way I think about it, and I can make the decision not to compare myself to my sister. So even though other people might continue to do that, I don't have to do that.
All right. Well, you know, you wrote the book in first person plural, narrated from the collective perspective of the three sisters. What made you choose this form?
You know, it just felt so natural to me when I started writing it. I almost didn't really think about it. Because if you think about the way that we tell stories about our families, we often use that we. Like when we were little, we went to Disney World. Or even in a marriage, we like to go out to dinner on Friday night. And it kind of becomes this separate person in the story. And so having the three sisters narrate together really allows them to comment on each other's actions in the way that people in a family would.
All right. Well, are you already at work on something new?
I am working on something new.
You want to share?
Well, I am the youngest child, so planning is not my strong suit. So I always hesitate a little bit because I don't know if what I'm working on now is how it's going to turn out. But what I'm working on right now is another story set in a small town in the summer. But the hook of this one is that over the course of the summer, all the characters get exactly what they have always wanted.
Ooh. Tempting but dangerous.
Yes, exactly.
Well, Eleanor, I truly enjoyed the book. It's a fast read, and it's really a great story. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
All right. Bye.
Bye.